Blog Talk Radio. When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care and nothing is going right.
So have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up from Ventura today. A big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And the reason I'm coming from Ventura is because I'm on vacation at a beach house. And to show you the dedication I have, instead of just passing the show on to somebody else, I'm actually doing it from my laptop out in this beautiful weather out here. And yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing. That's right, it's called a thing called caregiver burnout. And we have an exciting show planned for you today. I am so excited. Aging boomers, caregiver or nursing home? Al, what do you do when you live too long? Former caregiver Janice Lynch Schuster, an essayist, poet, and lately an illustrator. Her writing often appears in the Washington Post in the health section, and she is a contributor to the Shriver Report and Maria Shriver's Architects of Change. So stay tuned. You definitely do not want to miss this show. I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial. I know that's three. But, oh, yeah, they are also very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own, you know. Folks, come on. Learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember, every time you board a plane, you tune them out when they start to tell you that if there's an emergency, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. Well, the reason they tell you all that is because they know that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And then you won't be of any help to anybody with anything. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. That's right, you can't go around it, you can't go over it, you can't go under it. You got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you are stuck. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and my show and my radio podcast and my books and my videos and my blog. I know what you're saying. You're saying, my God, it's all about this guy. No, it's not all about me. It's actually all about you. So just go to my website, DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com, or the shortcut, just CaregiversCaregiver.com. Now, when you go to my website, you will want to take my short quiz. Are you a candidate for burnout? And guess what? Just for doing that, I'm going to send you a free link to my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. It's about my amazing wife's story. Okay, and mine too. That is still getting rave reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Please don't miss out on this very informative quiz that will assess where you are in the burnout process. And the best part is you get my book absolutely free just for doing that. Amazon is still selling for almost $10. I mean, it's a great value. Okay, now I would like to take this moment to thank my last week's guest, Cindy Laverty. She's an empowerment and transition coach. She works with family caregivers who are experiencing severe burnout. And she also works with those who have come to an end of their caregiving journey and transitioning back into a normal life. If you missed the show, you can find it on my website under Uplifting Interviews. All right, enough of that. I'm going to unmute my guest now. Janice, thank you so much for patiently sitting through all that introduction stuff for our first-time listeners.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear all the work that you do.
And thank you again for allowing me to interview today on such short notice. I really appreciate it, especially when I'm here in Ventura talking on my cell phone instead of my headset that I normally do in the studio. Let's begin by telling us a little bit about yourself. Who is Janice Lynch Schuster? try saying that fast three times.
It's hard to say fast. I usually describe myself by all the roles that I play, and the primary role mm-hmm. is that I'm the mother of six people. I have five kids now in their early 20s, and a 13-year-old is about to run me ragged with adolescence. Mm. I'm also a grandmother of a beautiful 9-month-old baby. And,
wow.
and then the primary thing that I do is I write. I love to write. I'm really lucky that I make a living as a writer.
Yeah.
You know, I know how fortunate I am. And I like to write in lots of different genres and styles. And but mostly when I write about healthcare, my hope is that I'll help other people learn something that makes their life a little better or easier, you know, more informed.
Wow, that's so cool that you get to live your dreams and actually make money doing it. Who
I know.
For
it's
you?
I'm a rare, lucky person who gets to do that.
Bless. More luck is at the racetrack in Las Vegas. And when I grow up, I want to be just like you. Now, you're calling from the East Coast, so you have the luxury of being 3 hours behind me. It's a little earlier here. Now, as boomers reach old age and need more and more family caregivers, what are they likely to find?
They're likely to be shocked by what they find. The boomers, who are mostly the people, I think the ages are like between 1944 and 46 and 64, something like that, the years.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up in a world where there were family caregivers. Families were more interdependent, closely linked geographically. Mom stayed home, took care of people, and as everyone knows, we've become a world where we're much more geographically dispersed. Most
mm-hmm.
families include a working woman, a working mother, and there are fewer and fewer people who can actually step in to provide the kind of caregiving that very old, frail people need. So boomers mm-hmm. are going to reach a system and a time where there literally won't be enough hands to take care of all of them. And that may be an eye-opening experience, also one that they've talked about for years but haven't made much headway in trying to figure out what to do. So I think mostly they're going to feel broadsided by what they didn't realize would happen to their own families.
You know, you bring up an interesting point. I mean, we always try to tell our kids what industry they should go in that is going to be high demand, and probably professional caregiving would be a good choice. But most of the caregiving is done by unpaid family caregivers. And I knew it, but I never really realized it till you just said it now, that most family caregivers are just outnumbered by the care receivers through the baby boomers. So all of the unpaid family caregivers, you're right, there just isn't enough of them to handle the huge onslaught or tsunami wave of needs that's on the way, right?
Right. And, I mean, I like to think, someone told me there must be some optimistic point to be made. And I think there's
yes,
a lot,
please.
You know, to be said for the wisdom that older generations have to share with
uh-huh.
the rest of us. You know, we have a lot to learn from people who have a few years on us. So there is that
sure.
benefit of having people live much longer than we used to.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, most of us, we're going to end up with lots of chronic health problems, and we're really going to need other people to help us take a bath, go to the bathroom, eat our food,
right.
and we're going to be hard-pressed to find those people. So the thing is that we really need to tap our creative minds and come up with solutions that will work across generations, and that's the challenge.
Yeah. Well, you know what doesn't make it easy, Janice, is that in America there's less respect for elderly than in Asian
right.
countries. I mean, we tend to throw away or dispose of very young children who are inconvenient to us, and our very old elderly, our parents, et cetera, who are also inconvenient to us because we're just too busy. You know,
right.
it's all about me, you know, and what my needs
right.
are, and what my goals are, and what my career objectives are. And that's so sad, and I hope that trend reverses, because Americans are just so busy to worry about other people. Would you agree with that?
part of the problem is that it can be really expensive to be a family caregiver. And for people mm-hmm. who end up needing to take time off of work or leave their jobs altogether, right. we don't have financial support for people. And so for most of us who live paycheck to paycheck, you know, can't afford to take off a month of unpaid time
right.
to fly off, you know, to California to help somebody. So some of it is our narcissistic culture, but some of it is also just the infrastructure that doesn't enable us to do things that we like to do because we are caring people.
Right. Good point. Nice way to turn that into a positive spin.
Yeah.
Let me ask you my next question. So many of us say that we don't want to end up in a nursing home, right? That's like the worst thing that
right,
could happen.
Right.
Our parents
right.
tell us, don't put me in a nursing home. But
right,
many of us,
right.
in fact, will require just that kind of long-term support. You know, and we shouldn't feel guilty if that has to happen, because the alternative is to just kill ourselves trying to keep them out of a nursing home when they absolutely belong in a nursing home. You know, not all
right.
nursing homes are bad. Okay, maybe most of them are, but you can find a good one. I know with my mother, you know, she came down with Alzheimer's and she fell. And it wasn't easy finding a good nursing home, but we found one because they are out there, you know, the needle in the
right.
haystack. So why is that so?
Well, the problem with that, with trying to find a good nursing home, is paying for it. I've been working on a story about using the arts as a way to stay engaged with people who have dementia, things that caregivers
mm-hmm.
can do so you can kind of play with people. And I visited, they called it a memory care center, and it was a beautiful facility. And it also
mm-hmm.
cost $10,000 a month out of
wow.
pocket. And I don't know about you, but, you know, and the other thing that's happening
to
boomers, you know, more companies don't have retirement plans anymore. We're supposed to save for ourselves.
Right.
Half of us haven't saved anything. So when somebody has a bill for $10,000 a month, it's just not, it's the kind of care that you'd like to have, but you just can't afford it. So
yeah.
I think that's the thing. The other thing with nursing homes is that the people who work in nursing homes who provide, you know, like the nursing assistants who come in and comb your hair and things like that, they're paid
mm-hmm.
such paltry wages. You know, it just kind of reflects the disregard we have for people who take care of them as vulnerable people in our lives. And the thing is, when people are in nursing homes, they often need such intense care and interaction. And that's why you see those awful pictures of people lined up in their wheelchairs watching television. Nobody wants to end up like that. But to come up with something better, we have to figure out different priorities for how we spend our money.
Oh my gosh,
that's
what we do to our children, line them up in front of the television set.
Yes,
and
we
that's
do.
Our babysitter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's the same kind of thing. In the area where I live, daycare for an infant is about $400 a week. And if you're making minimum wage, which is like $8 an hour, it breaks the bank. So it's really a bind of what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we really need to figure out across generations how we're going to take care of the people we love and not warehouse them.
Yeah. And, you know, this wouldn't work for everybody, but there are some people who can very easily just transfer what paltry assets the parents have out of their name and put them in the child's name. And then they would
right.
at least qualify for Medicaid and some programs like that. I know my mother, for example,
right.
is on this pilot program. I forget what it's called, something about Chapter 5 or whatever. I can't remember the exact name. But they actually are paying for her assistance thing. And she's in a very, very nice place. And simply because she's on Medicaid, they're experimenting to see if they can save money by paying for assisted living. And
right.
apparently must be working, because they've already renewed it for the second 5-year trial period. So we're very fortunate about that. So there are programs and government options, if you don't have any money, that you can do that.
Yeah.
So I would recommend
right.
you find people who specialize in doing that. There were a couple of interviews that I've done a few months ago, and I would recommend anybody who wants to learn more about trying to get government help and qualifying for certain programs, like the one I had mentioned where Medicaid pays for assisted living. There's a couple of interviews I did. One is Patty Hedrick, H-E-D-R-I-C-K, and the other one is Jane Branum, B-R-A-N-U-M. Go to my website, caregiverscaregiver.com, under the Uplifting Interview tab, and listen to those interviews, and you will get a wealth of information. I think they have some contact information in order for you to them about how you can get your loved one qualified for some of these programs, in many cases, absolutely free. So, getting back to Janice here.
Well, and also Medicare has a thing on Medicare, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, I think it's CMS.gov. Mm-hmm. They have something called Nursing Home Compare. So you can look at some of the quality measures mm-hmm. for different nursing homes. And you can, they call it spending down. If you can spend down so you're eligible for Medicaid, then it does pick up the cost of nursing homes. But even that is going to run into this problem of the millions of baby boomers living into their 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
That's who are going to crash into that system. Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to live into my 80s and 90s based on what most 80s and 90s look like and based on what pain my body is experiencing right at the tender age of 61. Well, let's talk about this.
Oh, I was just thinking, because we all see people like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in her 80s. If we could all be so fit and on the ball, and, then we think, then I'd love to be George Bush the first jumping out of an airplane at 90 or however old he is. But a lot of us aren't going to be that lucky. But at the same time, there's still value to a life, even if it's not. But on the other hand, like I myself, I don't really want to live into some world where I just can't take care of myself anymore and I can't function or interact.
Who wants
of life.
That?
Yeah.
Right.
They can share it.
Now, you came up with something called the caregiver core idea. What is that all about and where is it now?
Well, the idea I had is kind of inspired by a Twitter chat. It was hashtag eldercare. And someone said, what if we had a Peace Corps for family caregivers? And then I said, what if we had a caregiver corps that could be like the Peace Corps? So it got a lot of responses. People were pretty enthusiastic. Senator Casey from Pennsylvania introduced it as legislation in the Senate, but it didn't get anywhere. But earlier this spring,
wait till the politicians
Congress
have to become caregivers, then you'll see it.
Right. There's now a congressional caucus on family caregiving, so maybe at some point that idea will bubble up again. But the idea I had was if you could recruit volunteers of all ages of life and stages and engage them in their communities to help out with older adults, not to be hands-on caregivers, but to help. My kids that are in their 20s are so clever and innovative and smart, and they're interesting people. And if you could tap all of that energy and knowledge and bring it into a senior center and have them interact with older adults, I think everyone would benefit.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that yourself?
Yeah, I was kind of motivated by selfish self-interest because several of my millennial kids are having a hard time finding jobs. And at the time, my grandmother was still alive in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I so wished I had, some way I could create a job for the kids and hook them up with people far away. It would be a win-win for everyone. The kids would be exposed to older people who have interesting stories and experiences to share. The older adults would be experienced to a younger generation that they don't always understand. People would build job skills. And then these people who in the future will be our leaders and policymakers will know what it means to be a caregiver. So I really hope at some point that actually comes true.
You're brilliant. That is an excellent idea. And that's just an example of some of the creative juices that can be flowing if we give people an opportunity. And I hope you have some contacts with politicians that this can be a reality in the future.
Well, and the thing that I learned once the idea was out there, other people started to contact me to tell me about things that were going on in their own communities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I learned about the village movement. Are you familiar with that?
No.
The villages. Oh, after the break, I'll tell you about it. But I started to hear about all kinds of volunteer work in communities where people were trying to stay engaged with older people who would otherwise be marginalized.
Okay.
It's amazing what people come up with.
It sure is. Well, that was a great cue you gave me. It is time to take a break, so we will be right back. Don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you will be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive, godly attitude, and I look forward to the day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You will be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, and 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchased it from the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your own copy. Just go to DaveNass.com. That's Dave, and then N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, S like Sam.com. DaveNass.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to leave your name and email address so that Dave can send you his free report, 10 Mistakes All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't, just for visiting the site. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast. Again, DaveNass.com. That's NASS. Now let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.
And we are back with Janice Lynch-Schuster, and we're talking about elder care and a whole bunch of things concerning our baby boomers and how we're getting older and how we're in trouble because there aren't enough caregivers to care for us, family caregivers. One last thing, but how do you see this caregiver core idea playing out in real life? Did you already touch on that?
Well, I think if, you know, everything just seems to be gridlocked when it hits Capitol Hill, just dies, or it just never gets voted on. And so it's probably not going to happen in Congress. But I think maybe at a state level, that it would be something like AmeriCorps, where the volunteers receive a small stipend or tuition credits and things like that. So they'd have an incentive to do it. You know, and it's the kind of thing where we're penny wise and pound foolish. And if we can invest in things to help people early in the course of their aging or their disease or things like that, you know, you prevent a lot of the problems, the falls or health declines that land people in nursing homes. And I really think it's important to help build a future where today's young adults realize that they're part of what Yi Jung Koo calls the care economy. It's not just the money. Our economy runs on caring for other people. And I think that's really important.
And billions are being saved by the government not having to do that. However, a great cost of burnout is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But if we can make those young caregivers who are helping out aware about the importance of self-care, then, you know, that can be ingrained in their mind. And if and when they become actual caregivers later on in life, they can remember, oh, I got to take care of myself. Don't forget.
Right. I was thinking about the thing, you know, where people say, take your oxygen first. And I was thinking how, you know, you always hear that because if you get to that point in an airplane, it's because the plane is in big trouble. And you're going to crash, you know.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of another image. And I was thinking about, you know, those paddle boats that you take out in the lake. And when you start out across the lake, you're always both going strong. And but at some point, you run out of energy and you can't get back. So I think part of it is you have to learn to pace yourself, know your own energy, your weak, you know, things like that, and be willing to call for help if you need somebody to tow you back in.
Right.
So I think there are things you can do along the way. That,
you're
like they
you're
say,
very
it's
clever.
I'm a poet.
You're very clever.
So
you're very smart.
thank you.
And you're a genius.
Well,
I'm glad you're writing.
Thank
so
you.
That you can share that. Now, do you see other intergenerational opportunities emerging to help caregivers?
I see openings for things like that. I think sometimes people don't think to turn to other generations, but I know in my own area there's a group called Partners in Care where people can become members of this group. It's a time-sharing, time-banking group that has 2,000 members. And you sign up and you tell them what your skills and interests are and things like that. And then if somebody needs help, their lawn cut or something, they'll match you with somebody who can use your help. And then you earn hours. So that at a point in your life when you need help, you can kind of cash in your hours and they'll send help. So I recently had, one of my 25-year-old volunteered with Partners for a while over the summer. As he put it, he was giving old ladies rides to the grocery store and the food bank. But he found that he liked it. He actually liked it.
Yeah.
Talking to people who weren't his own hipster age group, you know, they have interesting lives too. So I wish we could do more of that.
The world would be a better place, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You just implemented just a handful of your suggestions that you've mentioned so far.
Yeah. And I also have friends out in California who are moving into a co-housing condominium in the San Francisco Bay Area. The idea is there that they'll form this neighborly community of people over the age of 55, and as they're all aging together, they'll pitch in to help each other out when they need help. I think things like that are good ideas, too, to create the kind of neighborliness that we all grew up with but don't have so much anymore.
Yes, and I had a guy on the show a few months ago, John Rivnak, and he's an architect, and they actually... In the Netherlands, they have actually built communities where everybody who lives there is, you know, has Alzheimer's or dementia. And, I mean, it's safe. It's walled in so they can't leave. But they all kind of live in a safe place because they're protected and they have little supervision, but they're allowed to live independently and not like they're in prison and stuff. So these are great ideas that architects and city planners can do. Little, you know, in the Bible they used to call them cities of refuge. Just imagine if we had cities of dementia, cities of Alzheimer's.
Right.
You know.
Right.
The old-fashioned leper colonies, but on a much better, much
our
better
happier
basis
scale,
than you know, just throwing them in a cave.
I was interviewing a man at the University of Alabama who has an honors program for undergraduates there where they spend a semester going to a nursing home and they're partnered with somebody. And they go and help do art projects and tell stories and things like that. And his hope is that the kids who graduate from that, no matter what discipline they're in, just have some understanding of what the future holds and how they can help. I think stuff like that is just a great idea.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did last year's White House Summit on Working Families advance any issues that are key to family caregivers?
Yeah, that was really interesting. A lot of the conversations were about different kinds of leave that people need. We always think of maternity leave or paternity leave, but really what we need is care leave. And so they featured some progressive smart organizations that are doing things that enable people to be able to take time off to care for a loved one or to pay attention to their family needs at all stages of life. A lot of it also had to do with paying a living wage to people, because if you're making $8 an hour, you can't take time off to help your mom get to a doctor's appointment. You just can't afford it.
Sure.
There was a lot of focus on those issues. It was telling. The vice president and Dr. Biden both spoke, and she described a time when she had broken her wrist and he had to wash her hair. And you know, so it's so important for people at all levels of government to know what it's like to be a caregiver, and that you never know when you're going to be tapped to be one.
Right.
So,
I'm surprised
yeah.
that they don't already know that. I mean, they're our age, not older.
Yeah.
I'm sure
they
have elderly parents and stuff, or maybe they're just so rich they just don't even think about it. They hire a caregiver.
But part of it is that people, they don't identify themselves as caregivers. They tend to think, well, they're just being a good son or daughter or mother, or, you know, and so you don't say, well, yeah, I am a family caregiver. So I think that's part of it, is they don't realize what it means. And then, of course, if you're in the halls of power in Washington, D.C., it's not like being in the halls of a nursing home in Austin, Texas. You know, it's pretty different.
What about the upcoming White House conference on aging? What do you know about that?
I've heard they released a date. It'll be in July. I forget the exact date in July. They've had some regional meetings to talk about some of the key issues, which I think they've been talking about things like retirement security, workforce development, and long-term services and support. It's good that they're having it. They've had the Conference on Aging every 10 years since the early 1960s. And if nothing else, it gets people together to brainstorm and talk about all those things that they're doing in their own communities and what the rest of us need to be doing to make life better for older people.
So what good things have come out of those over the last several years?
That's a good question. Off the top of my head, I don't really know. I know that there's always a lot of focus on reauthorizing the Older Americans Act, which pays for services like Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
But in terms of getting things done, it's probably much like everything else right now in the halls of Congress. It's hard to get things done when we're so polarized in our beliefs.
Yes. Well, why don't we talk about your experience as a caregiver? What have you learned from being a caregiver? And explain what kind of caregiver you were and to who.
In the early 1990s, my grandmother, to whom I was very attached, she was my next-door neighbor. She helped take care of my toddlers. She developed cancer and died 8 weeks after her diagnosis. And in those 8 weeks, my sisters and mother and extended family, we really scrambled to take care of her. We didn't want her left alone in her home. We came up with all kinds of schedules and strategies to help her. And the thing that sticks in my mind from that, this is 1994, my sister was working at a law firm. And after my grandmother died in the fall, in the spring, my sister asked if she could take a few days off for vacation. And then one of the partners said to her, "You already had your vacation last fall," which is when she had been helping to take care of our dying grandmother. Was no vacation. So it kind of showed me then how little people understand about what's involved when you take care of another person. And the other thing that we realized was there was no way any one of us could do it alone. You really need to be able to ask other people to pitch in and help out for everything. There were times when we needed help getting her out of bed, or, you know, when somebody needed to run to the store, but we didn't want her alone. So there were all kinds of lessons in about learning to lean on other people, because when you ask for help, people are often willing to provide it. You just have to ask for specific things. Then more recently, when my dad was going through his cancer treatment, it was the same sort of thing. We all wanted to be sure that he wasn't home alone. And I was fortunate to have an employer where I could telework and have flexible hours so that I could be there with my dad. And that was really important to me to be able to do that. And thankfully now he's cancer-free. So those are my big experiences. More recently, one of my children has developed a chronic pain problem. And so, I think of myself as her mother, you know, not her caregiver, but I do get involved in trying to help her figure out how to cope with what she's facing. So it's a role you tend to play on and off through your whole adult life.
Wow, so you, those are your credentials. You are an official caregiver. You're right up there with all the rest of us. You know what we're talking about, obviously.
Yeah. And it's hard, too, because you have your own sense of loss and grief that you deal with. Like when my grandmother was dying, it was really hard to cope with the grief that I felt. Or even now with my daughter sick, I feel a lot of sadness seeing her suffer. And that's hard to deal with if you're a really isolated caregiver. But, you know, you really need other people who can bolster you and encourage you and help you feel that there are brighter days ahead. I think that's really important.
Out here in Ventura, I'm going to be meeting with my wife and I, a good friend who just has beginning dementia, but his wife was battling cancer for 4 years, so he was kind of her caregiver along with the kids. And her battle ended last August, and so he's been alone since August, and he's just grieving terribly. You know, he'll go through these crying periods, and then, you know, someone will come in and cheer him up, and that's our goal, to cheer him up today, just make him laugh and have some dinner. But, you know, we'll have an opportunity to try to help him move a little further along. You know, unfortunately, most spouses who lose their partner don't live very long afterwards, do they? They just have this wish to die, because they want to be with them so badly. And, you know, we want what's best for him, obviously, but anyone who's grieving, you know, there's only, like I said in the beginning of the show, there's only one way to get through the grief process. You know, there are no shortcuts. It's different for everybody. Some people can do it quickly. Some people, it seems like it takes a lifetime, but you just have to help people get through it.
Right.
And that's something different for everybody. But with that note, let's take another break, because we've got a little more to talk about, and we will be back, so don't go away.
Tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program, every Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you take care of yourself first, so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you to take care of them. And Dave Nassani should know. He's been a caregiver to his wife for over 19 years after she suffered a debilitating stroke that left her severely speech-impaired and paralyzed on her right side. After a 2-year grieving period, she came to the realization that she had to lay the cards that she was dealt. And so she decided to reinvent herself and attempt to do all the things that she was famous for doing before her stroke, like gourmet cooking, hosting dinner parties for 12, interior decorating, sewing, and too many other hobbies and activities to mention here. She now basically makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers by continuing to do almost everything she did before her stroke. But in essence, she does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back, and she might as well have duct tape over her mouth too, since she can't speak. And she does it all with her amazing positive attitude and smile. So what's your excuse for not playing the cards that you were dealt and turning those lemons into lemonade? Dave has been so inspired by Charlene's attitude that it inspired him to reach out to caregivers by writing 3 books, starting this radio program to make sure that caregivers have a place to go, to get the support that they need in order to avoid burnout and to get through the grief process. Now get ready to learn how you can avoid burnout and survive grief. It's Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And here again is your host, Dave Nassani.
And we are back with Janice Lynch Schuster talking about boomers and their eventual aging and the problems associated with finding enough help to family caregivers. Where do you see hope and opportunity? Those are great words, aren't they?
Especially
if you're hopeless.
Yeah.
And most caregivers feel hopeless.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of hope in ways that technology, you know, more and more technology helps people. I heard a fantastic young man who has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and he's on a ventilator, completely wheelchair. And anyway, so this young man has developed a special nursing home for young people with ALS with all kinds of computer-assisted things so that they can live more independently, like to turn on the lights with your eye, you know, eye movement and things like that. So
really?
I think there's a lot of hope for technology to ease some of the burdens and barriers that people have experienced. And I think also it it offers a way for caregivers to feel less isolated with programs like yours that you can get on the web at times when it's convenient for you to get the program and to interact with other caregivers so you feel less isolated in what you're doing. I think there's a lot of hope there. And the opportunity is in the, I think it's 76 million baby boomers who, if they could gather their collective will and intelligence and learn from their experiences caring for their own aging parents, maybe they'll make a better world for themselves.
Absolutely.
In the next. Yeah. So that's where I see some hope and opportunity.
Well, thank you for that. you just have to be optimistic. I've spoken to so many caregivers, and it's just so depressing because they have allowed themselves to get into this place where they just have no hope and they feel like they're in prison, caregiver prison. And they've put themselves there because no one ever explained to them. And even those who are told that they need to take care of themselves, you know, 6 months later you're having the same conversation with them. It's like they're incapable of putting themselves first. Whether it's guilt or who knows what's going on in their heads, and with, you know, if it's a mother or something, there's a lot of baggage there, and you know, we don't know why people are motivated to do what they do, but self-sacrificing and taking one life for another, your own, is not good, and your loved one would not want you to do that. So for those of you listening out there, and you know who you are, who know you need to be taking better care of yourself. You know you need to be getting better rest. You know you need to be asking other people for help. People just don't want to ask for help for some reason. And those that even offer to help, they're turned down. So, you know, I just don't get that. It's almost like caregivers have this death wish. No, I'm going to do it till I drop, by golly. But hopefully we can stop that cycle. Now, Janice, is it a truism that caregivers need to take care of themselves?
It is, but then sometimes people find it hard. You know, they don't know exactly what that means. And, I mean, there's such little things people can do, you know, like little one-minute stress relief exercises. I developed a chronic pain problem, and the thing that really helped me was watching really stupid videos on YouTube that made me laugh out loud. If you just take a few minutes to do things like that, you know, it can really make a difference in your whole mood and attitude. But it's hard for people to take steps like that. You get so caught up in the tunnel vision of what you're doing.
Well, that's great advice. YouTube has a lot of information. I mean, just taking a few minutes a day can make all the difference in the world, and just changing your attitude and giving you hope that what you're doing is so important. And it is, you know, just...
Yeah.
This world would be in bad shape if caregivers did not do what they did so unselfishly and so caringly. But, you know, they can't just keep giving and giving and giving until they're basically sicker than the person they're caring for. They've got to be smart about this.
Right.
Well, you've begun drawing a picture about being a caregiver. How did that get started, and where would you like to see it go?
I'm a writer, and I write poetry and essays and things all the time. And when my grandmother died in January, I was just heartbroken. And my usual coping skill of writing just didn't work. And so it's thought I was on a creativity group on Facebook and where people were drawing all the time. So I thought, well, I'm going to draw a picture of how I feel about my grandmother. And it was so much fun drawing with these brightly colored markers that I just started to make these pictures.
Yeah,
I
love them. It reminds me of somebody called Max. Back in the 60s and the 70s, I mean, they used to draw on the buildings in Venice Beach, and you have that similar style. It's really cool, really free spirit.
Oh, well, so I've been doing those on they're fun. I don't know. I have fun doing them. For some reason, when I'm doing them, I feel very connected to my memories of my grandmother's.
Mm.
And I've started drawing little pictures that are memories from my childhood of things that we did together. And then I draw, like, and how that evolved into my caring about them. And so I'm hoping, I'm working with someone to try to put them together as a little booklet or a calendar or something, because I think that other people see their own relationships in those pictures. And I guess because they're so brightly colored, you know, they look very cheerful and happy, even if they're really kind
yes,
of sad.
They do.
Yeah. So, and it's also helped me just to cope with my grief and having lost my grandmother.
So is it working? Where are you in the grief process now? Have you reached the acceptance level, as they say?
I tend to think of grief a little differently, and I wish I knew who said this, but it's less stages that you go through, and it's more like a big wheel, and just a cycle that runs through your life. And this person who I wish I could attribute the quote said that it's really more like the clouds, and some days they're really low and stormy and right on top of you and you can't get out of bed. And other days they're so light and airy you hardly know they're there. So it's like that sometimes. And I used to talk to her on the phone pretty often, and there are times still when I want to reach for the phone and give her a call, and then I have to say, oh, no, I can't do that anymore.
Mm.
Then I draw a little picture. It just helps.
Well, I think I'm going to recommend that my friend who I meet tonight starts drawing. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's really...
You don't even have to know how to draw, do you? I mean, doodles
no,
can be drawn.
No. Yeah, and actually now it's really popular for adults to color in coloring books. So there are all kinds of coloring books that you can, I mean, it's like anything that's creative. It taps into some part of yourself that you usually don't notice. And I think for caregivers, they're usually pretty creative problem solvers, if they take a few minutes to tap into their own creative happiness, that it really helps you just deal with your own stress.
You gave me a great idea. I'm going to go buy a coloring book and take it with me.
Yeah, look for adult coloring books. They have more intricate patterns than kids' coloring books.
Oh, really? I didn't know they had adult coloring books.
Yeah, Google it. You'll be amazed.
Where would you get those? I mean, not at the supermarket, right?
No, but like at Michael's Craft Store or, yeah.
Well, how can somebody get a hold of you and read your books or look at your drawings, and maybe they just want to pick up the phone and talk to you? I don't know.
The best way to reach me is by email, which I guess it's hard to spell out for the show. But also, if you like the Caregiver Corps page on Facebook, I try to respond to messages there. And, you know, I'm pretty easy to find because I write so much. If you Google my name, you'll end up finding my email address. So that's usually the best way to catch me.
That's the easiest way. Just Google her name, and it's Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H, and Schuster, S-C-H-U-S-T-E-R, Janice Lynch Schuster. And that'll take you to her website, probably her Facebook page. And your Facebook page, again, is called what?
Caregiver Corps.
Not the caregiver, it's just Caregiver Corps?
Yeah.
And that's C-O-R-P, Corp.
Right, C-O-R-P-S.
The P is silent. It's like the Marine Corp.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Janice. Is there anything in the last few minutes that you would like to say to our audience of burned out caregivers that they can kind of take home and maybe they'll hear you, and maybe they'll actually do what you suggest, and maybe they'll actually stop doing things that are killing themselves and learn this self-care concept? That's a tall order.
I think, you know, we all hear so often people will say, well, just give me a call if there's anything I can do. And then you never do give them a call. But there are specific things. If you ask people specifically to give you a hand, to give you a break, pick up some groceries, if you just really specifically offer help to someone, if you know caregivers, offer to spell them for a while or to listen to their stories, and to remember that they have their own lives to live. And anything that you can do with a sense of grace and humor is always a little easier to manage. So I guess that's my takeaway idea. And also I've heard, right, and I've heard a woman, now her name, Anne-Marie Slaughter, it's Ajahn Pooh. Ajahn Pooh has said, caregivers do the work that enable the rest of us to work. And if it weren't for family caregivers taking care of the people we love, some of us wouldn't be able to do our jobs and go about our lives. So we really need to respect and honor the work that family caregivers do, and to recognize how important it is to our society that we all take care of each other.
And why do you think it is? Because this is so common that you can have a family of 5 siblings, and it seems like only one of them feels led or feels capable or feels the calling to become the caregiver, and the other 4 almost seem like they're flaking out. What is that all about? What dynamic is going on now?
Yeah, I think it has so much to do with family dynamics, who lives closest, who can afford to take time off from work, who got along best with that parent. There's so many different variables when that kind of thing plays out. So it's hard to say which one thing causes that to happen.
But I think the important thing is to not let it eat you up. Do not, you know, take it personally. Do not hate your siblings for it. Do not resent them. Because that's not going to affect anybody but you. It's like a cancer rotting your bones.
Right.
So just, you know, don't do that. Don't go there.
Right.
That's my 2 cents.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Well, Janice, thank you again for allowing me to interview today on such short notice.
Oh,
and
sure.
Thank you to my listening audience for tuning in today and every Wednesday live at noon Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget that all of our shows are recorded podcasts, so you can listen on the same link any time of the day or night, 24/7. They're also on our website, DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com, or the shortcut, CaregiversCaregiver.com. And you can also get to iTunes from my website's radio show tab as well. And just a reminder, when you're on my site, please don't forget to take the quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout?, so that you can assess where you are in the burnout process and get your free copy of my book. So until next week, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process, right here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.